In this episode of Sustainability in Alentejo Wine Series, I'm speaking with João Roquette, CEO and Chairman of the Esparau Group, about the company's transformation to organic and resilient viticulture. Esparau is one of the most famous brand names in Portuguese wine, and especially in Alentejo. João has played a leading role in driving the company's move towards organic viticulture. During my visit, I saw huge amounts of effort going into researching indigenous varieties for adaptability to the new climate conditions, which are extreme today, but will rapidly become normal tomorrow. The extent of this work has made Esparau a phenomenal success. The company owns 623 hectares of organic vineyards, the biggest ownership in Portugal, representing about 18% of total organic production in the country. Here, João talks us through how the company reorientated itself as a pioneer towards sustainability goals before the WASP program was established. He also says the Alentejo region as a whole should be proudly waving the flag as leaders in Portugal in taking bold environmental action.
So, João, it's good to speak to you. When did Esparau begin its journey towards sustainability? And can you identify a couple of milestones or challenges that you've encountered?
Yeah, I would say that one of the opportunities that I saw when I started working in Esparau was exactly that journey. I thought that if Esparau wanted to be a brand that would be recognized around the world, that we had a couple of challenges to deal with. The first one was a production model that was showing signs of a negative cycle in terms of quality. And that would be a challenge because we thought that if we wanted to be really an international company, that our wines should be up there with the best. And when I was talking with people that worked in Esparau for a long time, since the beginning of the company in the 80s, and I was joining in 2005, by the way, some of them pointed that we needed to do something about the way our agriculture was organized. And I studied business. I didn't study, agronomics or engineer or something like that. So I didn't know much about agronomy. And I was making all these questions to them. And I was seeing a lot of answers to the challenges, and also a passion inside, a will to do things in a different way, mostly in the agriculture department. On the winemaking side, they were quite happy because the wines were being recognized. Everything seemed to be well. Sales were growing. The company was one of the biggest and fastest growing companies in Portugal at the time. But on the other side, these people saying, with levels of, nutrients and nitrogen and everything that it's necessary to produce good grapes, we're in a very, very tight spot. So we need to do something about this. On the other side, personally, I had an experience with my wife and my mother-in-law, and organic food was already in my routine at home. And coming to Esparau and being a family business, I was a bit worried that there was this dichotomy between what I was spending my money at home and taking care of my health and my family's health. And then I would go to the company and we were using the same chemicals as everybody was using. So this really started from there, and a mix of being truthful with what I believe in my life. I was a bit worried at that time because I was feeling the weight of a company was 30 years old and was very successful. So I didn't want to, and I couldn't do anything that would be detrimental to what was built so far, because I had a lot of respect for the people there. But I was a bit relentless until I really understood what organic farming was, if it was possible or not to integrate in our business model, and if this was something that would drive quality in our business, and if it would drive quality, and if it would have all these other positive environmental and health aspects, I thought it would be a good thing. So we went a bit around the world. We visited two other producers who were doing organic in full scale for quite a long time. One in Chile, which is Emiliana, and the other one in the US, Fetzer. And we basically saw it was possible. At the same time, I came across Claude and Lydia Bourguignon, which are two pioneers in organic and also biodynamic in Burgundy, and have great work done on soil analysis and management. We start working with them. We did a couple of training programs with them. They visited us in Esparau. And also we start reading and going to conferences and educate ourselves better, and especially with the team. And yeah, and we started that in 2007 with the first vineyard. And then we took 12 years to do the whole 600 hectares in Alentejo and 50 hectares in Douro also. Your question was around sustainability. And for me in the wine business, sustainability, it's around producing organic. If we could do everything, we could have less water and energy consumption. Of course, the relationship and social relationship and community relationship, absolutely important. If we would do all this and our production model would continue to be business as usual, it wouldn't be a change. I think what's really unique about what we did is the fact that we had a successful 600 hectare wine business that we managed to transform to full organic in 10 years, and doing that, improving our business and improving the quality of our products.
Okay. And in the Alentejo, I mean, you are known as a sort of a climate vulnerable region. Is there anything that as a business you've picked up so far, that anything climate wise that's been noticed in the vineyards?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things. The first one is I absolutely agree with your comments. I mean, we're definitely in the vulnerable spots. I think the last 5 years, except for this year, we could see that very well. We have data that shows that without any doubt. What we've been doing basically is, from one side, we've been looking and testing other grape varieties. We have an amplographic field in which we have 188 grape varieties. So we're studying if some of them would respond better to climate change than the ones that we use. And we know that Alentejo was a dry farming region until the mid-90s, where irrigation really arrived and was possible to do in Alentejo. And productions before that are quite good. So the incredible change that happened in Alentejo in the 90s with water, now it's something that we should worry about, because the grape varieties there are not as well adapted to heat as the other ones were. So that is one. The second one was, we started right back in 2008. We bought our first vineyards in the mountains in Porto Alegre, and we've been investing in new plantings there in the last years. Our own area of vineyards there, we have around 30 hectares, and we're going to expand that to 50 in the next 2 years. And then we have another 20. So we aiming to have around 25% of our vineyard area over there. And then, of course, organic farming, it's definitely a way to increase humidity in the soil. Most of the techniques that we use support life and biodiversity in the soil. That supports soils that have the capacity to absorb water and to increase fertility. And then we use cover crops. That's a challenge in Alentejo, but we do have an annual plan to use cover crops and to introduce nutrients, but also they are very good to decompact the soil and also to keep humidity in the soil. So yeah, we're seeing positive results in that side also.
Okay, so you're using natural resilience in a way by using the organic processes building up.
Yeah, we think also that, you know, from one side the problem is a natural problem. It's climate is changing, so we need to understand how we as humans can react to such a big thing that we don't control, and I think that most of the response are in nature. Of course, we do have a lot of data that supports our decisions. We have a data analyst, like an IT guy that works full-time integrated in the agronomy team. We have a biologist full-time in the team also, so that we have data information that supports what we plan to do.
When I visited in September, there's a great sense of history, the longevity of the estate as such. The wine business is both traditional, but it's also very modern. And how do you go about, I know you're accumulating knowledge in real time, but do you speak to other producers? Are you sharing knowledge?
What we did is, in the context of the Alentejo sustainability plan, since the beginning, we've been very open to share everything we've been doing in Esporão, not only in the sustainability program, but I think most, not to say all, of the producers in Alentejo that now have, you know, reasonable organic farming programs, they started with a visit in Esporão and with us sharing and helping them doing their work. Cortes de Cima, we were very close working with them and helping. Malhadinha also, I hope they still keep their program, but they They visited us before they started.
And you mentioned the sustainability program. How have your interactions with them been, and where do you feel that they add value to your whole sort of operation?
I think we were pioneers in this subject in Portugal and in Alentej. The Alentej sustainability program, we also had a very, I think, important role in the start of the Alentej program, because it started when Dora Simões was still the president of the commission. And I shared with Dora Simões the sustainability program for California wines that dates back from the 70s and was very successful in doing a lot of good things for the region. She read it, and after a while, she thought it was a good idea to try to do something. And eventually, it took a bit more time. And when João finally joined the program, and João was also someone who was introduced to the industry by working in Esporão, the program then really kicked off. The beginning of the program was a bit... people didn't understand it very well. There's a big cooperative part of Alentejo wines. I thought this was an esoteric thing and didn't make much sense, and they couldn't see how to create value with it. They thought that, for example, to do integrated production farming in Alentejo would be impossible, which is, of course, not true. And we were pushing for the program to be more strict and more ambitious than what it was in the beginning. I started by being something very, you know, broad sense, and to try to bring people together and share knowledge and, you know, increase commitment as years went by and people were starting to see that this was a good thing. And I think now it's a great success, but we are at the point where, in terms of the certification, we're thinking about using it in our mainstream wines that are not certified organic. So that may be a good thing. But I also think that Portugal is catching up with the necessity of having a sustainability certification. And in the medium run, I think the certification should be for Portuguese wines. And Alentejo then has the challenge to step to the next level. And, you know, what would be the next level? I mean, I think organic farming would be the next level. I think Alentejo has absolutely the best conditions in Portugal, if not in Europe, to do organic farming. We don't have absolutely any pressure from the typical diseases that come with the humidity. We have a perfect vineyard system for mechanization. So when people ask me about organic farming, I say, I mean, if we don't do it in Alentejo, it's not possible to do it anywhere else. So I hope that this is a way forward.
Okay, and you just mentioned the need to go to a more national level for Portugal for this kind of program. As you're now, you know, 1.5 decades into a lot of these processes, so you've been a leader and a feeder in of knowledge into getting this whole thing going. Do you think there's a sort of a step process, like a leadership role that Alentejo, as its own vision, can now think about being an entirely sustainable region and can share that knowledge and help Portugal overall? I mean, I don't
absolutely
know.
Yeah, absolutely, but absolutely. I think we are the only region in Portugal that has an authority around sustainability, and I think that's for two reasons. I think that's because there is the program, the sustainability program, which is something that was formalized and there was a lot of work being done and was recognized. And I think that the fact that Esporão, it's now one of the five top organic wine producers in the world, I mean, also has something to say about the region's sustainability. So when we started in Esporão with sustainability, and even when the sustainability plan in Alentejo started, it was not a given that sustainability would have the importance that we're showing it has today. So everybody's jumping on board. And I think we have to take advantage of that and saying, you know, put the flag and say we were pioneers and we did this first and we're going to help, you know, and lead this movement in Portugal.
This kind of leads into my last bit, really. But you're talking about going to the national level, but there's also the sort of market signals and the wine buyers from around the world, emerging markets or important markets. Mm-hmm. How do you see this aligning with that and going beyond Portugal from the consumer's perspective, even having national sustainability boards? How do we go towards something that's more unified, you know, everywhere for consumers to understand?
Well, I think there's a risk, which is the vulgarization sustainability programs and certifications. So everybody from, you know, the mainstream pharmaceutical companies to chemical companies. Everybody has a sustainability claim to do, and the consumer is getting to the point where it's kind of looking at it and saying, you know, hold on. So if everybody's sustainable, maybe no one is sustainable, right? So we need to be absolutely careful with what exactly we're claiming to be. We have to stop speaking about sustainability and start speaking about actually what we are doing. And this is something that in Shpuran was very important. I still have, you know, comments by people that when they know Shpuran, they say, but why don't you communicate your sustainability achievements? And I say, we do communicate, but we don't talk about sustainability. And I remember around 2008, I sent an email to the team and said, please, we have to stop talking about sustainability. Let's not use the word. Instead, let's explain to everyone, every time we do something which we think it's good, let's explain what we're doing. And let's build our reputation from there. And I think building this reputation and being credible is absolutely important for Alentejo and for Portugal in what we're going to do next. And this means that the threshold needs to be, you know, tighter, and the program has to be ambitious. Because if it is something very broad sense, and we're not going to stand apart from the crowd, you know.
Okay. Well, that's great. I think you've answered all my questions, so thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks for listening to this episode in the Sustainability in Alentejo series produced by me, Nick Breeze. In the next episode, I'm speaking with Sonoma-born climate and wine scientist, Professor Kimberly Nicholas. Kimberly is also the author of Under the Sky We Make, an informed book about climate change and why we must take action now. In our interview, Kimberly makes a connection between the choices we make as wine producers, as consumers, as global citizens, and this unique moment in time that would impact life on Earth for thousands of years.